Dean Richards, Sunday morning. Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
Get it? Aaron Waters Show. Fly Like an Eagle. Get it?
I do now.
It's an aviation song. By the way, talking about the way in the old days that we would listen to music, I had this album, the Steve Miller Band album.
Yeah.
Fly Like an Eagle. Had it on 8-track.
Did you really?
Yep.
Well, that was about the time. We're starting to phase those out slowly, though, about around the time Steve Miller was.
Not me. I still use them.
You.
I still use them.
I imagine you do.
Got an 8-track adapter in my car.
8-track adapter. Underneath the dashboard,
yep,
right?
I made the dealer put one in.
Bolted it in.
Got my last.
And the wires are hanging down onto the floor.
That was part of the deal. I wasn't going to buy the car unless they put the.
You still have the CB radio with the big antenna on the back,
I
too,
do.
Don't
the
you?
Whip.
Yep.
You got that right. Breaker, breaker, 1-9. All the modern technology. I got it.
Yes, indeed. I had a friend that had an 8-track recorder.
Yeah, I have one. I actually, you know what? Here's the big loser that I am. I still have one.
You do.
My 8-track player that I had at home was also a recorder, so I could make my own mixtapes.
You could make your own mixtapes. Yeah. Record all your stuff on there. Sure.
Yep.
Mixtapes. Tapes being the operative word.
Yeah, I don't think we called them mixtapes back then, but I made my own. I recorded my own albums.
Mm-hmm. So did I.
And
you could put whatever music you wanted on them?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We were swinging, man.
You bet.
Aaron Waters Show. I haven't seen one airplane.
Not yet. It starts in a little over an hour.
Normally, they buzz around, you know, the city. You hear them. You see them. I know they were buzzing. Jack, they were buzzing Wrigley Field yesterday, weren't they?
They were. The last few days, they scared the Cubs dugout on Friday.
I saw some videos of the guys in the dugout, like, terrified when
it was loud.
Something happened.
Yeah. Yeah, that was going around on social media a little bit, was them freaking out in the dugout.
It's got to be really distracting while you're playing the game,
that's
right?
What I was thinking, watching, but
I guess that's a big thrill for the...
You know, the pitcher's trying to concentrate on what throw, and all of a sudden it's...
Hey, I'm trying to play a game here. Trying to play a game. Go buzz what's White Sox Park called now?
Rate Field?
Oh, yeah. Couldn't remember what...
Comiskey.
Yeah.
People still call it Comiskey.
Call it Comiskey Park. Go by Marshall Field and then Comiskey Park and the John Hancock Building. Go do those. But that's where the Savannah Bananas are. That's like right in their wheelhouse, right?
Boy, I saw so many people wearing...
Completely sold out.
Oh. Footwear.
I think that's awesome.
I didn't know they had that much gear because I've seen people do Schwanee. Like, everyone's wearing it. And I was like, whoa.
They sure are entertaining. I will say that. You know what it reminds me of? The old days with Bill Veeck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When he would do a crazy carnival-like stuff.
Yeah. To get people to come into the game.
Get people to come, keep people entertained during the boring parts of the game. But it's that it, that's complete showmanship. And the fact that they can sell out the rate for three, tonight will be the third night, I think, right? Is today? Are they playing today?
Right. I thought it was maybe 2 days, but.
Okay. Whatever. The fact that they can sell that place out.
Well, they sold out football stadiums. Like, they set up a baseball stadium at Clemson's football stadium. It was completely sold out. It's like 80,000 people.
It's complete entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why, Schwani, I'm telling you right now, next year at Tree Time, we're going to dress like fruit.
It's a Savannah.
We're gonna dress like different pieces of fruit.
Can we go as a fruit cake?
Yeah.
And seasonal, that'll make it seasonal.
Yeah, we're going to do like those dances that they do when, you know, if they're winding up and getting ready to throw the pitch out the infield, does a big dance. That's what we're going to do.
For a big interview, you just do a dance.
So are you going to go are you going to go as a pear, an apple, a peach? What?
No, I'm not sure. I've always wanted to be a kumquat. But only because it's funny to say kumquat.
Yeah.
Oh, I had another idea for Tree Time, too, inspired by the Aaron Waters show.
Is this something that's going to hurt me?
Yes, probably. What I was thinking was that we parachute down into...
into the open field next to the
into
Tree
Lake
Time
Barrington.
Store?
Yeah, we instead of driving in, we get in a plane, we get the parachutes on, and we put on a real show for the peoples.
For the peoples,
yeah,
that would be quite a show.
Yeah, so if you see a giant bunch of grapes parachuting out of a plane,
won't want to miss that. Here comes Schwani.
I believe he's dressed up like an avocado. Should be fun.
Oh, he's getting older now. It looks like more like a prune.
Yeah.
A little more ripe.
If I jumped out of a plane, I would look like a prune.
Speaking of planes, I wonder if the Wrong Brothers are in the lineup for the
Aaron Waters show
today.
I don't know. I was looking for a schedule of who's going to be doing what at what times today, and I guess they don't decide that until the last minute. But do we know who's
not offhand?
Who's doing what? Today?
Not offhand. I'm sure there's a schedule somewhere. It has to be a website.
I looked everywhere,
and you didn't find it.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Because I don't know. I looked on the City of Chicago website. I looked everywhere, and then I found something somewhere that said that the pilots decide what's going to happen. But I don't know. They base it on weather conditions or something? I don't know.
I would assume maybe. Yeah. That would make sense.
It's going to clear up, right? Didn't I hear
eventually, yes, right. It's cloudy here for the morning, but they will move out. There may be some isolated storms in places, but, you know, the major stuff that we saw last night and early this morning... it's going to move out. Man, did we get the rain and lightning and thunder last night?
I was right in the middle of it all.
Yeah.
Wow.
I came downtown last night to go see the Dance for Life performance that I've talked about for decades on the show. This is the benefit show in which the very best dance companies in Chicago all participate in one evening's performance on stage. Hubbard Street Dance, Joffrey Ballet, Trinity Irish Dancers, the list goes on and on. Gus Giordano Dance, Chicago. They all participate and do a performance. And if you love dance, this is the show to go see. It was last night at the Auditorium Theater, and really good show. But, you know, I had to drive in the middle of this torrential rain.
Oh, yeah.
And but it turned out fine. Turned out just fine.
Rating. We got several rounds of the storms.
Yeah.
You know, around 7 o'clock last night, 8 o'clock, and then early this morning. Wow.
Yeah, like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
It's going crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you keep us posted on that weather, I am Schwanee.
I'm going to see if the Wrong Brothers are going to be in the lineup today. Okay. Also,
yeah. Well, you let us know. Wow, the text line going crazy here.
People talking about flooding and down trees. And
mostly,
so forth.
They're talking about records.
Oh, okay.
Vinyl and 847 area code Dean. How many songs are on a 78 RPM record? Just one.
Two.
Is it?
There's one on either side.
Oh, on either side of the record. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I think you could only get 4 minutes tops on the one side of the record. Jack's laughing at me now.
I actually didn't hear you.
Yeah, this is about the time his eyes roll back into his head.
That's about right. Yeah.
We're talking about a 78 RPM record.
Oh, yeah.
Donna Reed famously smashed the 78 RPM record in It's a Wonderful Life. That's true.
That's right. Yeah. Playing Buffalo Gals, Won't You Come Out Tonight.
Won't You Come Out Tonight.
Dance by the light of the moon. Yep. And she started crying then.
773 area code. Dean, can you describe that plastic piece that was used in the center of 45 RPM records? That's a spindle, right?
Well, it was a spindle, but it was an adapter to accommodate the the larger hole in it.
It's a little plastic thing that you wedge into the hole of the 45 RPM record so you could put it on the record player.
Some of them had, there were rather semi-permanent adapters. I saw metal ones. Remember the metal ones? Mm-mm. You don't remember the metal ones?
Before my time.
Oh, yeah, right.
I'm like, Jack, I couldn't care less what you're talking about right now.
Well, the ones that looked like little spiders, you could put in the center of the record and then stack them on the automatic record changers.
Are you still talking about the pizza record?
No.
This segment right here is like when our parents would talk about Fibber McGee and Molly and all that. No idea what you're talking about. WGN. And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, moms and dads, it's time once again for America's favorite, the far-flung forecast. Did you know that President Putin, upon landing in Alaska, said, first thing he said, I like to hear the far-flung forecast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I see. Sure he did.
Thought that would get a bigger laugh.
Sure he did.
Just being a better reaction.
Oh, sure he did.
Maybe it was my bad Russian
accent.
And when
he reported back to the Kremlin, that's what he was talking about, right?
What? Who is this? What, Dave Schwann?
Who's Schwanny? Schwanny.
That's your intro. Dave Schwann.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much, Dean. And before we go any further, I want to say that this may be a first for our far-flung forecast series. This may be a first today because this one is by request.
Huh.
We heard from a listener who is a longtime friend and a listener in Holland, Michigan.
Holland, Michigan.
We want to thank David for requesting this because that is our far-flung forecast subject today. Yeah. Holland, Michigan.
Yeah, and if anybody can do, you know, prep work for Schwanee that he doesn't have to do, even better.
But, we received the note and I thought, well, you know, that's a good idea. And it's in a summer location. It's a beautiful area.
I can't wait to hear what this is.
Population of around 34,000.
Are you talking about Holland?
Holland, Michigan. Not Holland, Holland. Holland, Michigan.
No, I know. It's quite beautiful there.
Yeah. Settled in originally around the 1840s, Dutch Americans settling. And, of course, it's known probably nationwide for the Tulip Festival that takes place in May. But we mention Holland because, I didn't know this, but Holland had a major fire in October of 1871 at the same time of the Great Chicago Fire and also the fire in Peshtigo, Wisconsin. Exact same days, October 8th through 10th, 1871.
That was the Chicago fire dates.
That's right.
Wasn't it?
That's
the great
right.
Chicago fire dates.
The reason for this, as it was in Chicago, it was an extremely dry summer and early fall. And that is what led up to David writing us about Holland, Michigan. He said they're in a drought period right now. They haven't had any rain since very little since May. And he thought that talking about Holland might bring a little bit of rain their way. Well, I hope they get some relief in light of the weather that we've had in the last, 18 hours here or so. There is rain in the forecast for Holland on Tuesday, but right now it's partly sunny and 77 there.
Very nice.
So thank you, David, for writing in. A pleasure to hear from you. He did mention that he loves listening to Jack and myself.
Nice. Shout out to David.
No, seriously, he said, I love listening to you and Dean.
A shame both of you are going to be let go from the show.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
941, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Lovely to have you with us today. Time for the Week in Health. How can we help you get healthy, stay healthy? That's what the segment is all about. And joining us is Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency, Delner Hospital, Associate Professor, VC Health Equity of the Department of Family and Community Medicine, Feinberg School of Medicine. Dr. Wheat, we have to find a shorter title for you.
Absolutely.
The segment is practically over just introducing you.
You can just go with Program Director. It's okay.
Okay. That sounds good. Thank you for joining us. Wonderful to have you with us. And wanted to start off this week talking about back to school. Small kids are back to school. High schoolers are back. College students are going back. What do parents need to know to get their kids ready to go back to school?
Absolutely. There's so many things to be thinking about in this back to school time. One is making sure that if they have not had their checkups yet, that their kids have been in for their back to school physicals or their annual physicals to make sure all of their paperwork is in order. And that is not just about vaccines. That is about making sure that everything is healthy and normal and that we're catching anything that might be happening in their growth. And then really talking with their kids about hand hygiene and making sure that they're taking precautions when they go back to school, because all of a sudden they're going to be back in classrooms with so many other children that might have viruses and other things. So it's this time of year when we might start to see more colds, more stomach bugs and other things that are coming back.
I was, thinking about with all the talk about immunization, should you do it, shouldn't you do it? The controversy that's going around all that. I don't really want to get into the controversy part of it. But it used to be back in the day you had to have certain immunizations in order to get back into school, to start school. Where are we with that now?
I mean, that still is the case. There are still recommended vaccines that the school system wants to see, and that is really to protect the general health of everyone. We know that we need vaccination levels over a certain amount to help prevent some of the common illnesses that the vaccines are preventing. I'm thinking right now we've seen a lot of pertussis that has gone around in the past year or so, and some of our older kids get the Tdap vaccine, and that helps protect against that. And I think that there might be some illnesses that we are going to see more of that we haven't seen before because of the vaccines. But it is still recommended that children get all of their vaccines per the vaccine schedule. There are some families that might come and ask us to do vaccine waivers, and so that is an individual conversation with the family physician or the pediatrician, but still absolutely recommend having those conversations with your physician.
Vaccination waiver meaning a parent can go to the school and say, I prefer that my child not be vaccinated?
generally based on religious preferences, but yes. Or it also might be that there's a health reason why some children aren't able to get vaccinated. And so all of those are things that we talk through and are able to document.
Okay, you talked about, you know, hand-washing chats with the kids. I hope that they would do that. It seems like a conversation that you would have with your kids and they would just completely ignore you and go ahead and do whatever they wanted to do anyway. But what about masks and things like that? Is that overkill for kids going back to school?
I think that's a great question. I don't think it's overkill. I think it is a great idea, particularly if your kid is sick, to send them in a mask to help protect other kids, or if you are sick, to be wearing a mask to help protect other people. I think it is okay to not be in masks all of the time, but if you start to notice an outbreak at your school, or if your kid is sick, like I said, to wear a mask then to protect everyone around you. I do think that we saw some benefits of that in decreasing the spread of illnesses, and it is worthwhile to consider.
What about kids who are participating in sports? I know, you know, sports injuries would, you know, fall under the category of keeping your kids healthy this time of year. How much is too much for children going back to school right now?
I think that's a great question. I think that's different for every family and every kid. And I think that it's important to check in again with your physician, your pediatrician, your family physician, and see, are there any risks to your specific child about the sports? And then once getting started, remembering that if they haven't been doing anything all summer, it is hard to just jump into full-scale sports. And so really thinking about ramping up a little bit more slowly, like you might would. If you go from not doing anything to running a marathon, that's not going to go so well. So making sure that the training plans are moving up in a reasonable pace and talking with your kids' coaches about that. And then the other pieces about it that sometimes we don't think about as much are making sure the kids are getting enough sleep so that they're resting well after the exercise, and making sure that they're getting healthy nutrition so that they're being taken care of as part of that going back to sports.
Let me take a quick break. We'll come right back and talk more with Dr. Wheat. We'll get to your questions on the phone and the text line, 312-981-7200. Dr. Santina Wheat from Delner Hospital, Northwestern's Delmore Hospital, with us talking health. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. And the 847 area code, Dr. Wheat asks, I'm 50 years old. Should I get a measles vaccine?
That is a great question. You're actually in that age range where it might be recommended. There were not a recommendation for two vaccines when you were young, and so it's very possible that you are not fully immunized. And so that is a good idea and worth talking to your doctor about.
So let's talk vaccines here, because that every single week when we do this segment, the vast majority of questions are about vaccines, COVID vaccines. Absolutely. You know, shingles, you name it. What are the vaccines that everyone should be up to date on right now?
It really depends on the age. There are so many that I really want everyone to be updated on. I really think about the Tdap vaccine right now, as I was mentioning before, because we have seen increased amounts of pertussis around folks who are over 50. I do think about shingles. I think about pneumonia. Those are things that can really take you out a little bit. There's newer recommendations this year for folks who are over 65 and even over 55 to consider getting the RSV vaccine as well. But really following that childhood vaccine schedule can really help keep people safe at school. But as we're adults, we still need to be thinking about especially the tetanus, the pneumonia, and the shingles moving forward.
Yeah. What about hepatitis vaccines? I've been hearing a lot about that lately.
So there are some of us that are vaccinated against hepatitis A and hepatitis B. We've really been talking a lot more about hepatitis B in adults recently. It is part of our childhood vaccine schedule now, but even when I was a child, that was not a thing. And so there's a lot of adults that don't have that one. And so particularly if you have other conditions, like if you have liver disease or if you have diabetes, and it's a conversation to be having with your doctor about getting the hepatitis B vaccine. The hepatitis A vaccine is also often recommended, particularly if you work in certain spaces or if you're traveling to certain countries, then it's worth getting that one too. And those are either 2 or 3 dose series, and so they can take a little bit to finish them off.
What's the difference between hepatitis A and B?
So they're both viruses, but the way that you get them is different. So the hepatitis A vaccine, you're more likely to get by potentially eating things. It's one that's spread more from transmission when you're exposed to, like, dirty water or maybe people who are daycare workers changing diapers, things like that. Hepatitis B is more likely to be spread through blood, and so that's more, I worry about folks who are potentially injecting insulin or doing other things like that. And so they're just spread a little bit differently, and hepatitis A is more likely to be cleared faster, and hepatitis B can be a virus that you live with for a very long time and can lead to some serious complications.
Marianne, you're on WGN with Dr. Wheat. Hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
My question is, I'm a 70-year-old female. I have never had chickenpox, measles, or mumps as a child. And obviously, I grew up in that time period where there were no vaccinations. I had the titer test for chickenpox, and I have no antibodies for that. So my question is, do I go ahead and get the chickenpox vaccine and then get the a shingles vaccine, which, of course, is a big thing for, people in my age group? I just don't know what to do. I've never felt fully comfortable with the advice that I've gotten previously about getting the chickenpox vaccine. And I don't know, is there an adult version of that vaccine, or where do I go?
Dr. Wheat, what's your... go ahead.
That's a great question. If I were you, I would absolutely get the chickenpox vaccine. And I would do that because if you were to get the chickenpox right now, you would probably be fairly miserable, unfortunately. Even though some people have mild versions of the illness, some of us, I myself as a child had a really bad version of it. And particularly at 70, you're more likely to have a stronger version of it. So I would get it. And we know that it's safe in adults because we do actually give it to adults all of the time. I often, when I'm looking for women who are about to be pregnant, I make sure that they're immune to it because I don't want them to get it while they're pregnant. So my recommendation would be to get the chickenpox vaccine. And we know that it's safe.
Thank you. And then also, then after that, should I go ahead and get the shingles vaccine?
I think that's a great question and a little bit more nuanced, too. I think you're less at risk for it if you don't have the virus. But the thing that we know is that sometimes titers aren't totally correct. So if I were you, I would still get the shingles vaccine, but after you had already gotten the chickenpox vaccine.
Yeah, anyone that I know that's ever had shingles has always said, go get your shingles vaccine. You do not want to get this. Marianne, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. Dr. Wheat, thank you very much. And we'll look forward to talking with you again soon. Thank you.
Absolutely. Have a great one.
You too. Thank you very much. Dr. Wheat will be joining us on the Week in Health segment in weeks to come. I want to thank Dr. Jeremy Silver, who is with us for over a year doing the segment. He will not be joining us on this segment, but he did a great job for us. And just wanted to say thank you to Dr. Silver for all that he's done.
Dean Richards, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
me when I first met Dave Schwann. He was a member of New Kids on the Block. I don't want to miss. I can see it in your walk. He was the wacky one. Today is Donnie Wahlberg's 56th birthday.
Talking he's about, no longer the kid.
No, none of us are.
That's for sure.
One of St. Charles' very own. Living out in the west suburb now with his wife, Jenny McCarthy. One of the nicest guys that there is. A big happy birthday out to Donnie Wahlberg. What would you say is your favorite New Kids song, Schwanny?
I like this one.
I think it's
I'll just
fine.
Go with this one.
I think it's fine.
I think it's fine.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
I think it's fine. I do too.
Hey, there is a documentary on Netflix that you will definitely enjoy, but I think a lot of our listeners are definitely going to enjoy. Jack, do you have any idea who Ed Sullivan is?
I've heard his name a lot. Didn't he have a show?
He did have a show.
Yeah, look at that. I know some stuff.
Quite a few decades he had. Sunday nights. Right, Schwanny?
Absolutely.
That what you talk
never
about.
Never missed it.
Talk about must-see TV. Back in the
especially
old days.
Especially one night in February of 1964.
Well, that's maybe the most famous night for the Ed Sullivan Show. The Ed Sullivan Show, Jack, and other people under 80 years old who may not know this.
Hey!
was a variety show. And he, maybe more than anyone else who did a variety show, truly had the widest range, a variety of performers on his show that he featured every week.
And in a single show.
In a single hour.
Yeah.
In a single hour. And he was the stiffest, maybe the most uncharismatic person that there could possibly be. Introducing all of these bands, all these performers, comedians, jugglers, opera singers, you name it. He somehow worked into one show, and it was must-watch television every week. You know, now this is back in the day when there basically were only three or four channels on. There was virtually nothing else to watch. But, you know, I got to say, the man delivered. I mean, he gave us the Beatles. He gave us Elvis Presley, right? That was a
yeah,
big deal.
Yeah, but the Doors
waist,
were on.
Waist Up Only.
The Stones were on that show.
Everybody was.
And, you know, it was a big deal when a group from Chicago called the Buckinghams were on Ed Sullivan.
And I got to say, you know, his show. When did it start? In the 1950s?
Yeah, it was called The Toast of the Town of the or town. Something like that. Yeah.
Toast of the Town.
That was before my time.
Even. You know, in...
Not yours, but mine.
In the in that time frame, he featured African-American performers when nobody else was. He gave us, you know, Diana Ross. He gave us the Jackson
That's
Five.
True, yes.
Wilson Pickett, James Brown... Nobody else was booking these bands and performers, and the Ed Sullivan Show did. And now there is a new Netflix documentary on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, live from New York, the Ed Sullivan Show. And now, here he is, Ed Sullivan!
Thank you. Yesterday and today, our theater can jam with newspapermen and hundreds of photographers from all over the nation, and these veterans agree with me that the city never has witnessed the excitement stirred by these youngsters who call themselves
the Remix.
Now, tonight, you're going to twice be entertained by them. Right now, and again in the second half of our show, ladies and gentlemen,
the Remix! Let's hear it, Bob.
The Beatles! He brought out the Beatles, and everybody went nuts. This new documentary is called Sunday Best, The Untold Story of Ed Sullivan, and it's all about the making of the show. It's all about the success of the show. It's all about the wide variety of performers that he had, you know, featured on the show. Get this. We thought 1950s. The show ran from 1948 to 1971.
71.
1948 to, I would have thought that it went longer than that, but I guess not. He died in 1974.
I was going to say 74 or 75.
But, you know, Ed Sullivan is for whom the Ed Sullivan Theater is named.
Right.
Where David Letterman did his show. And now Stephen Colbert, at least until next May, does his show. Yeah. But if you remember the Ed Sullivan show, this is must-watch viewing. It's going to bring back a million memories.
I'm glad you brought this up.
Yeah. I knew that you would enjoy that because, you know, we all remember the Beatles. You know, if you are of a certain age, you remember watching the night the Beatles were on. Everybody did. Record-breaking ratings. That's the night before I went to the dime store and got myself a $1 Beatle wig to wear. Because I saw them on Ed Sullivan, and I wanted to look like the Beatles did.
I didn't have a dollar, but we went to a store that sold candy less than a half a mile away from our neighborhood, where they had the Beatles bubblegum packages.
Like, and there was like baseball cards.
Just like baseball cards. Yeah. Same size, and you got color pictures of the group. One of them from the Ed Sullivan show with the bubblegum inside. Yeah. That sold out very quickly,
yeah,
too.
That terrible bubblegum.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same terrible bubblegum they had in baseball cards. That little stiff,
yeah,
powdery.
Right. It was about 3/4 of an inch wide. And remember, it was just like a big strip?
It was horrible. It was like taking a piece of plastic
and
putting it in your mouth.
This is why I have crowns and implants in my teeth now.
Yeah, I get it. So besides Ed Sullivan, besides the Beatles.
Oh, Jack's putting his head back now.
Besides the Beatles and Elvis, who else do you remember from Ed Sullivan?
I remember the Stones. On Ed Sullivan.
I remember seeing the Stones.
Yeah, and the Doors also. The Doors were on. Jim Morrison, they sang Light My Fire. And then there were other, you know, other singers, you know, Ethel Merman was on.
Remember he used to have opera singers?
He had opera singers on.
He must have been a big opera fan because he would have...
He had Joan Sutherland on.
The Metropolitan Opera. They would come on and sing all the time. And,
sure.
And they, you know, the... And he would have, like, weird jugglers.
Okay, that was my question.
Circus acts.
Does that answer in the documentary as to who the guy was that spun the plates?
Well, there were several performers who did things like plate spinning. But, I mean, they had, these famous European circus acts that would come on the show and perform. How about Topo Gigio? Remember Topo Gigio?
Okay. I can't say I do.
The little mouse. Hello, Mr.
Eddie. Oh, yes.
Hello,
yes,
Mr.
Yes,
Eddie.
Yes.
Hello, Mr. Right. Eddie. Hello, Mr. Eddie. And then he would, like, sort of, it was a little puppet that would, sort of cuddle up to him. My very, very favorite, I mean, there were so many comedians. Oh, I used to love when Jackie Mason was on.
Jackie Mason was great. Yeah.
Todie Fields, the comedian Todie Fields was
Phyllis
on.
Phyllis Diller, I think,
Phyllis
was on.
Phyllis Diller was on the show quite a bit. I think Joan Rivers.
Very young Joan Rivers getting a start.
Yeah. Was part of it all. But my very favorite was the ventriloquist act, Señor Wences.
Oh, yes.
Close the door. I don't even know how to explain this. don't know how do you explain this to Jack?
I don't. He's how do you staring explain, into space.
How do you explain his neurowences?
He's staring into space.
I just laugh. I just laugh when I hear Schwanee's laugh. Oh, he's got a contagious laugh.
This guy was a ventriloquist, and he drew. Take your hand and make it like a fist, and then draw eyes. Right? Eyes and a little mustache?
Yeah.
On his hand?
And he would, move his thumb.
For the mouth.
Up and down.
So, oh, yeah.
So it looked like a character. Like this.
Like this. Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. And then he had a head in a box, and he would open the door, and the head in the box would talk. It's all right. It's all right.
You having fun in there?
I am.
You are having a riot.
I'm the only one, but yes, I am. Chicago Stereo,
WGN. Dean Richards, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
Incredible music of Michael Jackson. It's come back to Chicago on stage at the multiple Tony Award-winning musical MJ that is back at the Niederlander Theater right now. It's the story that kind of leads you up to the 1992 Dangerous Tour that Michael Jackson was to put on. The show is just full of memories of great songs, great dance moves, and a reminder of why Michael Jackson was known as the King of Pop. And starring in the role of Michael Jackson in this production is Brandon Lee Harris, who is a native of Chicago. And, Brandon, I can't even imagine what a thrill it is for you to be back in your hometown in this iconic role. Welcome to WGN. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Dan. It's so nice to be here. Thank you all for having me.
So, tell me what your reaction was when you heard that you were cast into this. like all of us, I think, we grew up with Michael Jackson. He's part of our musical DNA, and you get to perform as him every single night.
It is really, really crazy. I grew up a big, big, big Michael fan. I remember we used to fellowship with a church in Indiana, and every time we would go out, I'd ask my mom if we could stop by the Jackson house. Me and Michael share a birthday. He's the reason why I even got into musical theater. The first show that I did was The Wiz, and I played the Scarecrow.
Wow.
So this is all very full circle for me. When I got the call, I was in shock. I dropped my phone. There was definitely some like explicitives that were stated, and then I had to apologize for those. But I was truly, truly in shock. It was such a moment for me. I couldn't believe it. And here we are, 2 years, 2.5 years later, and we're still going strong. And I'm still enjoying being in the role. Yeah, it's a great time.
I can imagine. Talk to me a little about your background. I mentioned that you are a Chicago native. Where did you grow up? And what's some of your background?
Of course, yeah. So I grew up on the West Side. I am the fourth of five kids. So it was my mom, my dad, and three boys and two girls and one small little house on the West Side of Chicago. I went to school my elementary school was in Wicker Park. I went to A&M Pritzker, shout out to the Wildcats. And then I went to Lincoln Park High School, shout out to my Lions. I spent my days throughout the city. I did a bunch of musical theater throughout elementary school, a little bit in high school. I kind of shifted to choir and whatnot. I love my city. I love my home.
So you knew even as a little kid that this is the avenue that you wanted to go down?
It's always kind of been like on a bucket list of 1,000 things that I want to do and accomplish in my life. I think that at the time that MJ honestly came around to me, I was very focused on being an artist and making my own music and performing on my own. And MJ came around and it was such a big thing for me. And I felt so drawn to it. So it kind of 180'd me, but it's always been something that I've loved. I've loved musical theater my entire life. I've loved performing my entire life. And to kind of be able to pair that with my love for MJ is a dream come true.
Yeah, I wonder how performers reconcile, wanting to inject themselves into their performances, except for this role, you have to, keep it pretty close to what Michael would have said and done and how he would have moved, right? So it's an interesting balancing act that you have.
It is. It definitely is. And I think that over time, there's been some push and pull. There's been some play. Everybody that works on the show is incredible. You know, it's an incredible book written by Lynn Nottage. And then down to choreo, down to music with Christopher Wilden, Michael Balderrama, Dante Keen, David Holzenberg, Jason Michael Webb. They've crafted such a great show to where I do feel like there are moments where I am in character and I am playing Michael, but then there are also moments where I feel as though my heart and soul are coming through and adding to the story and pushing Michael's story further. And I also think that like the era in which I get to play Michael is very parallel to just where I am in my life. And so it feels easy to tap into.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about the show itself. It deals with the making of the Dangerous Tour, but takes you through the different stages of Michael's life.
Of course, yes. So as the show starts, it starts you off in a rehearsal room in 1992. MJ is prepping to embark on the Dangerous World Tour. And as we are also in this rehearsal room crafting the show, he's being interviewed by MTV. And through that interview process is kind of where we get pulled back into memories and flashbacks throughout Michael's life. So you see a little Michael, you see the Jackson 5, you see little Michael turn into middle Michael, you see him with the Jacksons, you see him embarking on his solo career. That's kind of how the show goes.
And which is your Michael-ness?
So I play middle Michael. I play Michael around 15, 16 years old till he's about 24, 25. So this is the Jackson 5 leaving Motown, becoming the Jacksons, and then Michael himself leaving the Jacksons, wanting to pivot off into his own solo career, so into Off the Wall and into Thriller. I get to play that time period of Michael.
Yeah, and I mean the show, encompasses every part of Michael's life. One of the things that I think is most interesting and revealing in many ways is the relationship that Michael had with his father, which we also see on stage, right?
Yes, absolutely. So Devin Bowles, who plays two characters, he plays Rob, who is basically the choreographer and helping MJ prep for this Dangerous World Tour. And then he also plays the role of Joe Jackson. And yes, you get to see this dynamic throughout Michael's upbringing, this relationship with his father, how much of his father had an impact on his life, on his career, on his choices, how he treated people, how he strived for perfection. You get to see all of that unfold.
Yeah, let me take a quick break, Brandon, and we'll come back. I just want to learn a little bit more about the ins and outs of the shows. Brandon Lee Harris one of the actors that plays Michael Jackson in MJ the Musical, which is at the Niederlander Theater and is playing there. If I had this up on my screen, I could tell you much faster. Playing until August 24th at the Niederlander Theater, which is, by the way, where the show kicked off its original U.S. tour. It started on Broadway, yes. Won a bunch of Tony Awards, first went on tour at the Niederlander, traveled all over the U.S. and really all over the world, and now is back in Chicago. We'll talk more with Brandon Lee Harris right after this.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning. Chicago's WGN Radio 720. Keep on with the past, don't stop till you get enough. Keep on with the past, don't stop till you get enough. Keep on with the past,
don't stop till you get enough. Keep on with the past. 10:49, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, and the week in theater. What's going on stage in Chicago? A must-see show is down at the Niederlander Theater. MJ the Musical, which will be here in Chicago until August 24th. Highly recommended. I've actually seen the show a couple of times, and it's just loaded with great memories. Brandon Lee Harris is one of the actors that play Michael Jackson in the show. Do you have favorite songs, Brandon, in the show that you just really look forward to performing each night?
Absolutely. I get to perform with the Jacksons, a part of like the Victory Tour era. And we get to do Can You Feel It from that Victory album. And it's so fun. It is a big number, the horns, the choreo. I get to moonwalk for the first time. So, yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about the Michael Jackson story itself, which is, you know, got tons of controversy in it. This all is kind of a warts and all look at Michael Jackson's life, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get to certain parts of the show where we're addressing, you know, what do you have to say about the recent allegations? Where during the They Don't Care About Us sequence, you know, we're kind of playing reporters and we're kind of badgering Michael. Michael's trying to focus on the music, trying to focus on his humanitarianism, and we are doing the thing that the media tends to do, which is to try to pull and pull and pull and pull and pull. So yes, throughout the whole story, we get a more well-rounded view of Michael outside of the Michael Jackson, the icon, the pop star, the superstar. We get to see how human he was, how much he cared about his craft, how much he cared about the work that he put out.
When I saw the show, I was, not that I was happy to see that they dealt with that, but I thought, well, this is nice. This is not a puff piece. They are dealing with all aspects of this. But I'll tell you what, you get completely bowled over by the level of entertainment, the great music, the great memories. Mm. But you guys up on stage, guys and gals up on stage, incredibly talented.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, man. Just really, really great performances. So that's got to be great. Do you get input from the Michael Jackson estate, from family members who have come to see the show?
Yeah, we work pretty closely with the estate, and you know, like Prince has come to see the tour, along with obviously Prince in Paris being able to see the Broadway show and being at different openings for different companies and whatnot. And then we also get to work so closely with people who really worked with Michael before he passed, specifically Rich and Tone Talawega. They are two brothers, dancers that were founded by Michael. They ended up going on the History Tour with Michael. They choreographed the You Rock My World video. They just worked so very closely with Michael. They come in and I look at them as the MJ authenticators. They come in and they not only teach us the movement, but they teach us why the movement is this way. They teach us, they really put Michael into our bodies and not just on our bodies. So that is always like such a privilege, and so cool to be able to work with people who were in these rooms.
With the man himself, MJ the Musical is at the James M. Niederlander Theater. That's until August 24th. You can go to BroadwayInChicago.com to get more information. Brandon, I couldn't be happier for you. Chicago kid made good and thriving. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you so much, Dane.
Yeah, continued success to you. And I hope we get a chance to see you in person sometime soon, okay?
Absolutely, yes. Let's make it happen. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us. Brandon Lee Harris, MJ the Musical at the Niederlander Theater. We'll update news with Dave Schwann coming up. Stick around. Schwann, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the Hammer's doing a pretty good job filling in for Andy.
You are not wrong. You are correct, sir. Yeah. You are correct, sir.
Thank you. Too kind. Thank you.
For how long were you producer of this magnificent Sunday monstrosity that you do?
3 years, I think, right around there.
And now, how are things going with Landecker, by the way?
They're fun. He's a lot of fun.
You want to vent? Anything to complain about?
There's nothing to complain about, no. I know you like the drama, but we don't really have any beef.
What's the one thing that really ticks you off?
Maybe getting home at 11? That's about it.
No, he's a good guy.
I know. He is a good guy.
Not as good as working for me, but...
I plead the fifth.
Yes, good move.
We've talked about a lot of nostalgic things this morning.
Yeah, Jack rolled his eyes when I told him that I remembered listening to John Landecker on another very popular radio station.
Yeah, man, Boogie Check. I don't have it anymore, but I told John when I the last time I saw him, or one of the times that I saw him not too long ago, that when I was in college, I did a audio report on popular radio, and I featured him.
Wow.
As the, because he was like the hottest thing in the world, on WLS back then. Is that still on the air, that WLS?
I think so.
Is that still? Are they still? but it was like a radio documentary almost that I did as a term project on the state of popular radio, and John Landecker was featured prominently. He's like, "Oh, do you have a copy of it?" It's like, "No, I don't. I didn't keep it. Sorry, I'm not Dave Schwann. I don't keep everything in the world."
We still have to get out some of our older air checks, as we used to say.
That will never happen, by the way.
Are you sure?
You don't want to go back in the day?
I don't even want to listen to shows from last week.
Come to think of it, I don't either.
Yeah. Have you heard this show? There's
I've heard plenty.
Yeah, once is plenty. We've been talking about a lot of nostalgic things, for boomers, basically. And I thought, this is not fair to Jack. He's much younger than us. And we should give him an opportunity to talk about things that will bore us to tears.
Oh, I don't know if I'm up to date on the happenings in entertainment. Well, you are. I guess we could talk about it.
Like what? Who are your favorite artists right now?
Artists? Mainly Luke Combs.
I know you like country music.
Luke Combs, Morgan Wallen.
Yeah.
Who else? Mainly just country stuff. Out on the golf course, country music.
Yeah. Luke Combs was at Lollapalooza, right?
Yeah.
Did he headline one night at Lollapalooza?
Yeah, it was Thursday. I remember I was here doing Landecker's show.
That must have been frustrating.
And you couldn't go. You were just a few blocks away.
Yeah. I don't think it's my scene anymore, Lollapalooza. I never went, but I don't think it's my scene.
So you're sort of like stuck in between. You're like in the twilight zone, really.
Yeah, me and my one buddy like Luke Holmes a lot. So we've seen him a few times, and we talked about going. We're like, it's a Thursday, and we're probably 10 years older than most of the people that are going to be there.
So you can imagine how I must have felt.
Well, yeah.
Having people call me Grandpa.
Ooh.
Can we help you, Grandpa?
Do you need assistance?
Are you lost?
Can I help you across?
Are you lost, Grandpa? Do you know where you are? I like that Luke Holmes, though.
He's good.
That Fast Car song?
Oh, yeah.
I cannot get enough of that.
Me neither.
Do you know what we're talking about, Shawnee?
Sure.
No, you don't. You big liar. You know, remember the Tracy Chapman song? You got a fast car. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
Come on. You don't.
He thinks it's fine.
He redid the old Tracy Chapman song, Fast Car.
It's good.
And it's really good. And at the Grammy, I think it was the Grammy Awards last year.
Didn't he sing it with him? With her?
With Tracy Chapman. Yeah. It was amazing. Shawnee, come on. You don't know that song?
I probably would know it if I heard it. I can't place it right now.
Okay. All right. I'm
waiting for it.
No, I'll get to get it. Take it easy.
We got to research. Probably wait for an ad to play.
Yeah. An ad or something like this, for example.
Dean Richards, WGN.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning. Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
And your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder, and I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone.
This is such a good song. Luke Holmes redoing the old Tracy Chapman classic Fast Car.
Still ain't got a job.
Does that ring a bell for you now, Shawnee?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
I know things will get better. You'll find a way.
Oh, when he sang it.
And I do like this.
When he sang it, you get time later on when you're not busy running your newsroom.
So I remember when we were.
Which really means eating apple turnovers. During the commercial.
Okay, Jack, do you see any apple turnovers in here today?
No, but I know I've been eating during every commercial break.
When you get a chance later on today, look up the version that Luke Holmes did with Tracy Chapman.
Okay.
It's amazing.
That's good.
All right.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Okay, so we learned a little about Jack today.
There we go.
Big country music fan, yet at your tender age of, what are you, 21?
I am 27.
27.
I am like 3-4 weeks away from turning 28.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. I'm getting old.
I know somebody else who has a birthday coming up soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to be 28 anymore, that's for sure.
In dog years. So Jack is a big country music fan, has no idea what we're talking about when we talk about all the nostalgia, and yet is too old at his tender age of, let's call him 28, for Lollapalooza.
So do you know the song Convoy?
It doesn't ring a bell.
You don't know that one?
Maybe if you played it.
Do you know what a CB radio is?
I've heard it. I've heard you guys talk about it.
Yeah.
That was kind of a country-ish song, and I just thought you might have known it.
Back in the day, people had in their, I guess mostly in their cars or trucks. It was really
definitely in the trucks.
Really more of a truck thing, so truckers could talk to each other. It was radios.
Ah.
that people could talk to each other. And somebody did a song about it. We got a mighty convoy. That, you know, so that's what that was about. But
okay.
Basically, it was like communicating with people, mobile communication. It was cell phone before there were cell phones, right, Shawnee?
That's exactly right. Yes. Yeah. Citizens Band is what that stood for. Yep. CB radio.
I had one.
Yeah.
Right next to my 8-track player under the dashboard. I had so much stuff under the dashboard.
Did you have the microphone with the curly cord on it?
Of course I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. The microphone with the little button on it. You had to push, push it to talk.
Yep.
Yep. Breaker, breaker. This is the Golden Creek.
I like that.
That was because when you had a CB radio, Citizens Band radio, you also had to have a CB name.
Or a handle.
Handle is what it was called.
A handle, yes.
And I picked Golden Creek for some reason.
I had a friend who had a CB radio, and he and his father had what they call a ham radio or amateur radio in the basement. We talked to guys in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
And put up a big antenna in the backyard. Boy, oh, boy.
You could reach that far?
Yeah.
The ham, ham radios could. The ham radios.
Yeah.
So, but CBs got out there pretty
CBs did well, yes. Yeah. Right.
Especially if you had the big whip antenna on the back of your car like I did.
And everybody pointing at the car and laughing at it.
My 68 Tempest with the big whip antenna on the back. No wonder. No wonder I couldn't get a date. Dork. What a dork. So speaking of nostalgia, if I may dip back into that pool again, let me just check on this first. Jack, you've heard of Elvis Presley?
Yes.
Yesterday was the anniversary of his death.
Really?
Yeah, that's right. It was around the middle of August.
August 16th, 1977. He died at the age of 42.
Man, that's going to be 50 years pretty soon.
Right? And doesn't that seem weird now? Like 40, when he died, it seemed like 42 was not old, but...
Not all that...
Not terribly young. Not
either.
As young as it sounds now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was, I remember exactly where I was when I heard the news that Elvis had passed away. And shocking. I mean, it was just, he was part of the soundtrack of our youth, right?
Yeah, totally. And for, you know, people that were maybe 10, 15 years younger than us who were in high school and college when he first was on Ed Sullivan. And songs like Hound Dog and All Shook Up were hits the first time.
On Ed Sullivan, Waist High Only. Remember, they wouldn't shoot him from the waist down because they thought his gyrations, his movements were too provocative.
Correct.
For what would that have been?
1956, 7?
Yeah. Something like that?
Yeah.
But Elvis, he was too racy for the Ed Sullivan show. So they shot him waist high only. But been to Graceland Mansion many times, several times. I should, you know, 3-4 times. I guess that's a lot. I've done documentaries on Elvis. The most recent time I was there is when that Elvis movie came out a couple of years ago with Austin Butler, the actor.
Good movie.
Oh, I remember when you went down there.
Good movie.
Yeah. Yeah. We were down there for that. Austin Butler, by the way, the actor, his birthday today. He's 34 years old today. But we went down for that and interviewed Tom Hanks, who played.
He was the colonel.
He was the colonel in the movie, and Austin Butler was stunning as Elvis Presley. When we come back from the break, we dig back into the vault, and we'll get that Austin Butler out live. Well, it's not live now, but then I was live in Memphis talking with Austin Butler from the Elvis movie coming up next. WGN.
Dean Richards Sunday Morning, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
Bright lights, they're gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher.
One of the great Elvis Presley songs of all time. Yesterday, the anniversary of the death of Elvis Presley, died at Graceland Mansion, 1977. A couple of years ago, I guess two, 3 years ago now, I went to Graceland Mansion for the interviews for the movie Elvis Presley that starred Austin Butler, celebrating a birthday today, 34 years old, who played brilliantly, I might add, Elvis Presley in the film, and Tom Hanks, and an amazing movie. I absolutely loved it. We had the opportunity to sit and talk with Austin Butler, and the following morning, on WGN-TV Morning News, I was live from in front of Graceland Mansion, just completely giddy that I was there. In fact, I was the only guy there at that early morning hour as we shared my conversation with Austin Butler.
It's crazy. I can't even believe that I'm here. I am the only guy outside of Graceland Mansion right now, which is pretty amazing. I've been here before, and back in the day, if you were lucky enough, you could tour the mansion, but this has changed so much now. There's an entire complex that completely surrounds the area. There's a resort hotel. There are theaters. There are museums, all kinds of exhibits. I'll tell you more about that later on. Graceland is the second most visited home in the United States. The White House is the number one most visited. This is where Elvis Presley lived when he took over the world with his music and his style, becoming a pop culture icon. This is where he lived until he passed away almost 45 years ago. He is laid to rest in back of the mansion in a beautiful spot. And this is where much of the action takes place. That is called Elvis, that'll come out on June the 24th. Yesterday, I talked with much of the cast of the movie, including Tom Hanks, who plays Colonel Tom Parker in the movie. We'll have that for you later on this morning, but also the young actor who is electric in this movie as Elvis Presley, and really, to me, captures the soul of Elvis in this movie. His name is Austin Butler.
It's really... I mean, I'm glad you talk about the soul, because that was the core of it all for me. It was that so many people have an idea of Elvis, or they revere him as a godlike figure or as a Halloween costume, or there's all this noise. And the fascinating thing that I was most drawn to was, who is he when nobody's looking, and what does it feel like being inside of him? You know, like, what does it feel like looking out of his eyes and experiencing that world? And so for me, it was, thankfully, I had a long time. So I had a year and a half before we started shooting. And I felt such a responsibility to his family, you know, and to him. And so it was, I didn't want to feel like I was stepping up into his shoes and then going back down. And so it was just... I try to just live with it as much as possible.
But when you're performing, I guess you sing all the early Elvis songs, but then still have to perform the later ones to tracks. Yeah. It looks like you go somewhere else. It looks like you go to a different dimension or something.
That's what it felt.
Am I projecting something crazy on you here?
That's what it felt like. It was. Yeah, it's such a spiritual experience, really. I feel so fortunate that I got to. I didn't know what that would feel like, and it was beyond what I could ever describe.
Yeah. It was pretty moving last night at the Graceland premiere.
Oh, yeah.
Priscilla and everybody was there, but Priscilla and Lisa Marie both specifically talked about you, and who would know better who captured this than them? What does getting there endorsement, I guess you might say, mean to you?
It is everything to me. It really is. I want everybody to like the film. I want all of those incredible Elvis fans to feel like we did him justice and to love it and feel excited. And but at the end of the day, he was a father and he was a husband, and it's about them for me.
You can hear the full Austin Butler interview. We've got it up at WGNTV.com.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning. Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
Hot, beautiful Sunday. This is my beautiful day. When you say
it's 11:38. Coming up in a few minutes, my A-list interview with actress Connie Nielsen. You know, from a variety of TV dramas and motion pictures, she is co-starring with Chicago's very own Bob Odenkirk in the brand new movie Nobody 2. We'll get to that coming up in a couple of minutes. It is Air Show Sunday, and I still have not seen a single airplane fly by the window. Jack, have you seen anything? Any signs of anything? Schwani, have you seen?
No, and I was looking around about 20 minutes ago, a half hour ago.
Usually by now we get buzzed.
Oh, we've seen planes and helicopters go right down the river here.
Yeah. It's very quiet.
Yeah, no, we haven't seen a thing.
Maybe don't they do the water part of the show early?
That might be it.
Because it just started at 10 o'clock, right?
Yeah, DeSable Lakeshore Drive. Solid traffic, not surprisingly, northbound between Grand and Chicago right now. And, of course, that, you know, has everything to do with the air and water show out there. I can tell you that the red line coming into the city downtown yesterday about this time, packed from, you know, people getting on at Fullerton and Belmont and moving on down. Wow. Everybody.
I think it's great that people, you know, are still coming down. You know, so many people don't even want to come downtown, that they come downtown, they make a day of it, they, you know, have picnics, whatever, put out their blankets, sitting out on the lakefront.
Yeah, the beach looked really crowded yesterday.
Watching the show.
Really good turnout.
It is cool to see the formations, although, you know, hey, we're right here on Columbus Drive in Wacker. Would it kill you to fly by our window?
They were buzzing us during the week.
Were they with the rehearsals?
Oh, with the rehearsals, yeah.
Yeah, when I was here Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, I haven't. Usually we hear something.
Yeah.
With something, but nothing. I guess the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds are part of the festivities this year. And let's see, what else can we tell you? Military and civilian pilots for the event. There's not a lot of pre-information, I'm going to say.
You didn't see the Wrong Brothers listed on there.
I can't find. I see the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds. I see the U.S. Army parachute team, the Golden Knights.
They're always part of it.
Yeah, that's always amazing. Remember that one year, was it Vince Vaughn who jumped with with the parachute team with the Golden Knights?
Might have been. I remember him taking the polar plunge.
Was it the polar plunge?
But I don't remember him doing the parachute
jump. I remember him doing a parachute jump, but it was either the polar plunge or the parachute jump that He did whatever it was, and then came right to WGN.
Right, came right here. Yeah,
came right here. Mm-hmm. Over at the
we were over at
the other
go
place.
Ahead
the old dump,
and you were in the mattress store.
The old dump that smelled like garlic. Am I kidding? Didn't it smell like garlic most of the
time? Well, there was an aroma.
From the restaurant, or I don't know where that garlic smell was coming from, but I never saw a building that smelled like garlic before. But that was Tribune Tower, the ghost of Colonel McCormick. Okay, so Thunderbirds, Golden Knights, the U.S. Air Force C-17 demo. Do you know what that is? I have no idea.
Not offhand, no.
Illinois Air National Guard KC-135. Maryland Air National Guard A-10. The U.S. Coast Guard Search and Rescue. And the U.S. Marine MV-22. Osprey? Do you have any idea what that is, Osprey?
Nope, not offhand either, no.
Yeah, sorry, I don't know some of those. But they have these civilians that are part of the show also. The Kevin Coleman Aerosport Show, Folds of Honor Biplane. Those are cool, those old biplanes that you see. The Mini Jet Air Shows, the Muscle Biplane, Super Steerman, Big Red, Warbird Thunder Air Shows that are going on today. So that goes on, what, till 3 o'clock?
3:30. 3:30. Okay. Yeah.
So they still have a few hours to buzz our window.
And fortunately, it looks like the rain is not going to be a factor here.
Yeah, it's almost, I don't want to quite say it's clearing up outside, but
it's pretty bright now.
It's much nicer than it was an hour.
Yeah.
Several years ago, I think they called it or postponed it because we had a lot of fog, remember?
Yeah, right.
We had a hot and cold air mix and ended up with a great deal of fog over the lake. Well, can't fly in that, so.
Yeah. Okay, so how many people do they estimate come down for this? A million?
With you all told, you know, both days, perhaps, sure, you know. And it's near the North Avenue Beach. There's people in Lincoln Park.
They set up viewing stands sponsor tents and all kinds of things. I mean, it's fun. I mean, if you're going down, if I was going, I would park along one of the main streets that go east and west. I would park further west and take public transportation all the way to.
That's a good idea.
The lakefront. Yeah. I wouldn't try to get anywhere near Lakeshore Drive, and then enjoy your day, and then hop back on the bus or get an Uber or something to get out of there. But it's fun. I've gone to it, and when you're there just for the show, it is really fun to just sit back and watch these amazing demonstrations. So, but there are definitely a lot of people out there. So.
We were on a boat about 10, 11 years ago for the Air and Water Show, and when the Blue Angels came over, they went low. Not only was it very loud, but they were so close you could almost read the numbers, even though they were going so fast.
On the planes?
On the plane, yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
They were that close to the water, and what precision. That's just amazing.
It's amazing.
Precision that they can hit.
Because it looks like they're 3 inches away from each other. It's obviously more than that, but they look like they're so close to each other. There is obviously a lot of precision. Have they ever invited you to fly with them?
Me?
You know how they do that with media people?
Yeah.
Come and fly with us, and we're going to fly upside down and make you throw up.
I've read Sounds accounts, scary. And that's exactly what happens there.
Yeah.
How about you?
No.
They should put you in a plane.
I have
like
been
that.
Invited, but I have declined the invitation.
Took a pass.
I'm not one for anything that might make me throw up.
I get nervous with a little turbulence when
right?
you fly.
I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not my. I know there's a lot of people who like stuff like that, but not for Uncle Dean. I like to sit on the beach and
just watch them.
Enjoy cool beverages.
That's always a solid plan.
That is more my style.
You bring in your big lazy boy, don't you?
I bring
wheel it in. On a truck?
I bring in a full couch pit. I bring in all my living room furniture.
You have people waiting on you?
Yes.
Coming in and bringing you your beverage
and
of
your
choice?
Your problem with that is what?
I'm just saying. That's all.
I like to bring in all my furniture from my living room. and all my servants. My butler.
Set up the night before.
I like to bring my butler out. I like to bring the... Dude, I have a whole staff at my house, like Downton Abbey.
What's your butler's name?
Jeeves. What's your butler's name?
I don't have one.
You can borrow mine sometime.
Sure.
Hey, we've got another one of our Dean's Night Out coming up.
For Come From Away?
For the musical Come From Away. Have you heard about this? Now, this is a true story.
Oh, yes. Gilda, my girlfriend, knows the show very well.
Oh, it's a fantastic show. I've seen it before. I can't wait to see it again.
She thinks it's really, really something.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is the story of what happened. Remember, following 9/11 and all the planes were grounded everywhere. There was an eerie silence in the air, if you remember that correctly. But 38 planes were diverted into a small town in Canada, and this small town accommodated 6,500 passengers who were unexpectedly stranded there. And that's what the musical Come From Away is about. That is the next production on the main stage at Aurora's Paramount Theater. And we're going to go see it on, let me see the date here. Does it say the date? Oh, September 7th. We're going to go see it September the 7th. We'll have a little meet and greet beforehand. And then enjoy the show out there. So if you would like to win tickets to join us for this special Dean's Night Out, all you have to do is go to WGNradio.com/contests. WGNradio.com/contests. And hopefully your name will get chosen, and we'll see you out at the Paramount for the performance on September the 7th. We're looking forward to that for Come From Away. Sweepstakes ends Sunday, August 24th at 11:59 p.m.
Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see? When you're hugging with your baby, last row in the balcony.
11:52. Weekend box office numbers so far look like this. The horror movie Weapons appears like it's going to be the number one movie of the weekend. Freakier Friday with Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis. It follows in the number two spot. After that, it's Bob Odenkirk's Nobody 2, followed by the Fantastic Four, First Steps, and The Bad Guys 2, rounding out the top five. Well, last week, we shared my conversation with Bob Odenkirk. He was back home in his hometown of Chicago to talk about the movie. He stopped by our WGN-TV Morning News, and we had a great conversation with him. And then this past week, I sat down with his co-star in the movie, actress Connie Nielsen, who plays his wife in the film. We did a little Zoom chat, and she talked about working with this unexpected action star. We had Bob on our morning show live the other day. He's from Chicago, so it was a bit of a homecoming for him. But what a transformation, right? In an actor, having gone from comedy to so many different things and now action star.
He is really, truly one of the most talented people I've ever worked with. It's extraordinary. And then at the same time, he's so humble and so generous. I just can't say enough wonderful things about him.
What do you think those qualities are that enabled him to be able to make the transition? Not everyone does it as successfully as he does.
I think he's a really healthy person in the sense that he's aware of all human foibles and failings, you know, and he doesn't try to make himself into something he's not. And so that allows him to, I guess, to transform. You know, he is so honest with himself about what motivates him. And And because he essentially comes from a really solid place, which is personal growth and, you know, sharing some of the origins of, for example, this transformation, you know, the act of creating a sort of very untraditional action film based off of a moment of actual male impotence, like a sense of feeling powerless. I think that is such a healthy and wonderful artistic place to start from, you know, to take something that has been a deeply traumatizing situation and create from that a fantasy, essentially, that I think is reassuring for a lot of people.
How about for you? Is doing a movie like this really fun compared to, you know, serious dramas or, you know, serious comedies, if you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I also think that this film has at its core a lot of real truth. You know, it talks about family. It talks about what is it like to try to reconcile the contradictions in the lives of adults with the kinds of teachings you're trying to give your kids. And it's also about memories, you know, your own memories as a child and your wish, you know, that you could go back to that time and realizing that you can't, that, you know, every new generation is creating its own new world.
We talk so much about the nighttime dramas, legal dramas, you know, those kinds of shows which are on the television. You being such a veteran of those, what do you think the attraction is? They are so phenomenally popular.
I that is a very good question. I think that we have been doing this since forever. Not to sound all highfalutin, but, you know, even though you go back to the Roman period and people were reading Cicero's speeches and he was talking about, you know, the rule of law even back then. And there is this sense that we're always looking for ways in which to mediate the rules of living because we constantly feel exposed in our world. And so this exposure, this feeling and fear of exposure over and again, I think it feels reassuring to know, oh, the rules are for us. And there are people who are at work to make us feel protected. And even though that is not necessarily the truth and that power can, in fact, and is, in fact, abused over and again, we seek reassurance through these shows to tell us, no, power is only, you know, acting in the purpose of good.
Connie Nielsen, the co-star of the movie Nobody 2. It's in theaters now. Hey, want a free pair of tickets to see Dial M for Murder at the Drury Lane Theater?
Now, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
That is this live play adaptation of the movie, the Alfred Hitchcock movie?
That is my understanding of the 1954 film, yes.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that would be neat to see.
It's playing September 3rd through October 26th at the Drury Lane Theater. An affair, a fortune on the line, and a perfect murder. But what happens when it all goes wrong? Find out in the riveting new adaptation of the 1954 Hitchcock film Dial M for Murder.
You need some reverb in there with murder.
Do I have reverb?
You used to.
Hello. Test. Oh. In Dial M for Murder. Okay.
I'm done now.
It's at the Drury Lane Theater. Get tickets at drurylanetheater.com. But I've got a free pair of tickets to give away, Schwani.
Okay.
Would you like them?
Well, I don't think I'm eligible.
No, you're not.
And even if I were, you would prevent me from getting them anyway.
No, I wouldn't. No, I just don't want you to get arrested by the contest police.
That's right.
Caller 7 will win these tickets. 312-981-7200.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning. Chicago's WGN Radio 720. I can see but you when you dance, dance, dance. Feel a good, good creeping up on you. So just dance, dance, dance. Come on. All those things I shouldn't do, but you dance, dance, dance. And ain't nobody leaving soon, so keep dancing. I can't stop the feeling. So just dance.
It is 12:11. This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. This song, you think it's the Justin Timberlake song, don't you? It's not. This is the song that the Savannah Bananas use called Can't Stop This Peelin'. Get it? What a big smash these guys at Rate Field the last couple of nights. I was just looking at some videos of, you know, what they do. I've seen them do their dance moves and stuff on stage. I had no idea, Jack, that they, like, you know, the pitcher will throw a pitch that is on fire.
Yeah.
It's a ball of fire that they're throwing at the hitter.
Yeah, and I think the umpires dance, too. I mean, it's like I was describing it to someone that's kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball. But I think they're a little more entertaining.
It's even
entertaining,
more choreographed.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you know, going to see a Broadway musical and a baseball game all at the same time. And the sometimes the pitcher is on stilts.
Yeah, I've seen that.
When he's out there.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that, but.
What fun.
It's got to be hard to even walk on that.
Just the whole thing. I mean, and both teams, obviously, are you know, they're because both teams participate, right?
Yeah, I think there's actually four teams.
Oh, so it's kind of like a league almost.
Yeah, so I think it's like the Savannah Bananas play like a rotating of the other three. I think I could be wrong, but that's what it looked like.
Are there Savannah Bananas home parks, or is this something which is strictly, you know, touring and going around?
It
the
seems
country?
Like it's more touring. Right now.
Yeah.
Right now, it looks like they're on their world tour. I'm on their website. So they've been to Mesa, Florida. I'm assuming maybe Savannah, Georgia could be.
It's got to be the home base, yeah. Right?
Touring is pretty recent for them when they're going across the country and the world, but they used to just be anchored in Savannah, and they've grown so much over the last couple of years alone.
Yeah. There we go.
I wonder if this could be a thing.
Think it is.
It obviously is. It sells out everywhere they go. But I wonder, you know, do we see Major League Baseball incorporating some of the entertainment elements of this?
I would say probably not.
I'd like to see that be the All-Star game.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
I would love that. That would turn me around so much on watching games if I knew that somebody was going to be on stilts. If Shwani, we go to Tree Time next year, and you and I play catch, and I set set the ball on fire and throw it at you.
Now, see there again with the
I might show up for that
of injuring me.
You just got to catch it.
Not with intent
on ball on fire. Yeah,
yeah, just got to catch
that's
it.
That's what makes it fun.
You better catch it.
Right,
some more motivation.
Yeah,
I want to see you on some stilts.
Ooh, fun now we're talking.
How fun would that be?
That would be great.
I would love to be on stilts.
You just hatched an idea there, Shwani.
Yeah. This is a whole new thing for the Savannah Bananas are going to completely remake this whole show.
We can invite them to Tree Time.
I just think it's a wonderful idea. Bringing all these entertainment elements into it. Did anybody go? Let me do this and open up our phone lines. Did anybody go to the games the last couple of nights?
I saw a few texters said they did.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Earlier when we were talking about it.
I would love to talk to you and learn about the experience. But as I said, it reminds me of the old days with Bill Veeck, former owner of the White Sox, who would, you know, he would bring a lot of, you know, crazy, very non-traditional baseball elements into the White Sox games to get people to the parks. And obviously it worked, right? Sold out the last couple of nights.
Oh, yeah.
At the rate?
It was packed.
What's the capacity out there at the
rate? It's got to be close to 40,000.
How about that? If you get that many people out, when's the last time the White Sox sold out the park? Or
it's probably when they...
World Series?
In the World Series 20 years ago.
I mean, they were in the playoffs in 2021, so... They played the Cubs. They were sold out. 40,615.
Yeah, that's it's quite a phenomenon. Good for whoever thought of this. It's brilliant, and I hope it does nothing but grow and grow and grow. It's a fantastic idea.
Whatever gets people playing baseball works for me.
Yeah, and you know, out and about, and you know, doing things like that, like Liz, who is on our phone line at 312-981-7200. Liz, you went to see the Savannah Bananas?
Well, hi, Dean. I actually didn't see them last night, but I was very lucky and won 5 tickets in the lottery. So my 2 daughters and 3 grandsons went last night and had a great time even after an 80-minute rain delay.
Oh, right. Yeah, because it poured raining out there. That's right.
Yeah, and I was telling your producer, I went to see a game at JetBlue Park in Fort Myers in February, Bananas game, and that park held 4,000 people, and the last 2 nights, it's been 40,000 people each night.
that's amazing, isn't it?
It's exploded, and they are terrific, and even last night, even with the rain delay, very few people left the park, and my daughters and my grandsons were just, they had an awesome time, and I can't recommend it enough. Yep.
Like, what were some of the highlights of it for you? Obviously, somewhere in there they play baseball, but like, what were some of the highlights that made it so entertaining for you when you saw it?
Well, first of all, how talented baseball-wise these players are. I mean, and some of them have gone through AAA. Most of them have played at the college level. But their ability, they're acrobatic. I don't know if you've seen any of the plays they make in the field. That shortstop broke a record with 8 trick plays. and I think their personalities, and when I was down in Florida, it was Valentine's Day, and they made every woman in the whole entire stadium feel special.
Hmm. In what way?
Which I think is, well, they kind of focused on it being Valentine's Day, and the players went up into the stands and were giving flowers to ladies. Oh. Yeah, I mean, this Jeff Cole, who started this back in 2016, had a vision. And he just seems like a great guy who last night talked about Bill Veeck being his inspiration.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I thought of when I first heard about this. It's like, here's somebody who's bringing fun to the ballpark the way Bill Veeck used to do. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Liz, I really appreciate your calling. Thank you so much.
And I love your show. Stay well, Dean.
Thank you very much. Very nice of you. I appreciate it. Hi, Barb. You're on WGN.
Hi, Dean. How you doing?
You went last night?
I went last night with my husband, one of my kids, and 3 grandkids. So and you were, it was a big rain delay.
Part of the rain delay also, but you didn't mind, apparently.
No, I brought ponchos, so we covered up. Then we went into the concourse for a while. And it was amazing. We had such a good time. Just the music, the dancing. I think the one player for the Bananas could give Brandon a run for the money with his MJ performance, because he was doing Michael Jackson all night long. That's my favorite. So it was just so festive. You couldn't help but have a fabulous time. It was so fun. And I'm a huge baseball fan. So yeah. The purists are saying this isn't baseball. Yes, it is. They're amazing talent, but they make it so much fun. Yeah. That it, my, just seeing my 10 and 12-year-old granddaughters having a ball was so well worth it. Yeah. So we loved it.
Wouldn't it be great if, you know, there was something that – well, let me ask you this. Would it be great if there was something like this that was here all the time? Would the novelty wear off if you could go any time – to a stadium and, you know, they put somebody put on a show like this?
Well, it might, but, you know, if you want to see true baseball, then don't go to it. You know, if you want to go be entertained. I mean, I take my grandkids to a lot of ball games, either, you know, Cubs games and that type of thing, and they enjoy it, or they seem to. They put up a good front, but last night was such entertainment for them that, and it was so hard to get tickets, that there are so many millions of people that would love to experience that weren't able to get tickets. I feel so lucky that I did and that we could experience it. So it might wear off, but there's tons of people that would want to see it that don't get that chance.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it. Somebody on our text line says 3.6 million people are on a waiting list for tickets.
Yeah.
For the Savannah.
I signed up last fall and was very lucky in June to get some emails saying, "What's your email?" And then we all got a designated date and time. That was your opportunity to try to buy tickets. So I felt really lucky to get tickets in the 100 section, and we had a ball. It was great.
This is just absolutely brilliant, and how entertaining, you know, fun to watch the baseball, but just great. Talk about great family entertainment, right?
It was. It was. And even my 7-month-old grandson was wide awake for the whole thing, and never let out a peep. And then the granddaughters were loving all the music. They play music throughout the whole game. Just fun music. The whole crowd was singing along and dancing along, and it was just amazing. Yep. You ought to go if you get a chance.
That sounds great. I sure am going to try to next time. Thank you, Barb. Have a great day.
Okay. Thank you. You too.
Appreciate your call. Randy's in Orland Park and now on WGN. Hello.
Hey, Dean.
So you were there, what, Friday night?
Friday night, it was awesome. Unbelievable. Mac Stadium, so much fun. The entire thing was a party. It was really good time, really good baseball. I mean, these guys are doing backflips, catching fly balls, and catching them on the, you know, after the flip is over. It's amazing. Catching the ball between their legs, throwing them between their legs. It's just, skill is incredible.
Just a complete athleticism, right? That's what it sounds like. Yeah,
for sure. You know, and then they had Case the Rapper came out in seventh inning or sixth inning.
Yeah, I heard
that. Did a bit of a deal. It was super cool.
Yeah, I heard that Chance the Rapper came and he did a song and they joined him, right? In a song, is what I heard. Yeah.
Exactly right. Yeah, it was something else. And you can catch him on YouTube. They broadcast all their stuff live and ESPN Plus, and it's definitely worth checking out. It's a good time from the start to the finish. Even the pregame stuff before, they had a baby race where they had the slowest relay race where the babies had to crawl across the field. It was a lot of fun.
That's fantastic. Are the tickets expensive?
No, $40. If you get in the lottery and you win the lottery, it's $40 to $40 to $60. But you have to be in like 3 million people waiting to get in the lottery for these stadiums. I've been trying to get in for the last 2 years. Luckily, my buddy was able to get in.
So really, the trick is availability of the tickets. Because they sell out so far in advance, and I guess that's why there's so many people on this waiting list, right?
That's it, exactly. Yeah, and it's well worth the wait. It's something to see.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely give it a shot next time that they're in town. It sure sounds like fun. Randy, I appreciate the call, pal. Have a great day today.
No, you too, Dean. Thanks.
Thanks very much. WGN.